Turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 in your Bibles, verses 21 to 26. Romans chapter 3 and verses 21 to 26. I'll read verse 21. You read verse 22 with me. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. Then we'll all finish here on verse number 26. To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. And let's pray together. Father, please help me to tell your truth the way you'd have it told. Please help, Lord, everyone that has come here today. Lord, give us, please, good understanding and clarity as to these truths in your wonderful, perfect word. And Father, we'll thank you and we praise you for it, please, in Jesus' name. I think it's very important, if there's two books of your Bible, if you have not read through the book of John, you need to. It's written to the world so that you can understand, if you believe, you get everlasting life, if you believe on Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's the whole purpose of the book of John. If you've not read the book of Romans, the whole purpose of the book of Romans, think with me just for a second, the Roman Empire was at that time, largest empire the world's known. The book of Romans is written to the world to explain to the world what happened when you got saved. So if I preach on salvation, I have no doubt. If somebody is lost, God can use the message to get them saved and explain to them and touch their heart. I realize that to a saved person that's already saved, if I preach a message on salvation, could you come to this passage and explain it to somebody else? I've told you before, if I preach on salvation, listen to what I'm teaching you. If you say, well, I'm already saved. I'm trying to help you verbalize salvation and talk about it. Amen? I'd like you later on to be able to turn to Romans 3 and look at it and see what it means. Amen? So we're going to hit one section here. And the name of the sermon this morning, my text verse, is verse number 24. And being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The first thing I'd like to point out to you concerning this passage is I've told you to grammatically study your Bible. The first thing you can do when you sit down is notice where the sentences are. In this case, verse 21, where we started reading, starts a sentence. Then, if you see where the period is at, where does the sentence end? It starts in verse 21, but it ends in verse 26, where we ended, didn't it? So that means if you aren't careful when you study your Bible, you could pull a phrase out. Just be careful that you don't neglect the rest of the sentence, or you're going to take something out of context. So always pay attention to the sentence. Where am I reading the whole sentence? Sometimes a verse is a sentence. In this case, it's not. As a matter of fact, through the most of the book of Romans, it's not. So, verse 24, our text verse, just happens to be right in the middle of the sentence. Now, with that in mind, I'm going to come to Romans 3 here in just a second. I just need you to listen to me as I introduce this. In our day and age, people don't read anymore. They would rather watch a movie or a video. Dr. Zachary and I were talking about this. And when they do read, listen, their ability to comprehend what they're reading is most of the time next to nothing. You know what scares me? Is we could sing a song like The Old Rugged Cross, and if you've been raised in church, you're used to it. If you're not, do you understand what you're singing? But what does the song mean to you? We just sang two verses of it. You say, oh, I've never heard it before. Okay, well, by the second time, they're normally pretty simple to get. All right? If I asked you, what does the song we just sang, what does it mean to you? About two-thirds of the people in here would go, what song? You know the one we just sang before we were, sort of, I'm not making fun of you. I'm saying the average American, very few people read. You know what would be nice? If I asked you, if we read a Bible verse, and then I gave you a sheet of paper, and I said, we read one verse. Now write on that piece of paper what that verse means to you. Could you rephrase that verse? And did you know the average person reading? In other words, I didn't say you can't read. I said when the average person reads, they're not thinking about the words. So this morning I'm going to take a verse and I'm going to say this verse means this and this word means this and this and I'm going to try to open up the understanding of it. And here's my hope as a pastor that it just doesn't happen in church. Dear God, please let it happen when the people go home. Give them understanding to where you can read your Bible and it means something to you. You see, in most churches across the country, what takes place in the sanctuary is all done to glorify and exalt and coddle man. Because of what's done in America that actually calls itself Christian, there is a huge Bible illiteracy. The average person sitting in a better church today is not familiar with terms like we just read in Romans 3, like this, redemption. They'd say, boy, that's a big 50-cent college word right there. And I don't know why it has to be a southern accent. I just do it that way, okay? That's a 50-cent word there. How about the word propitiation? How about the word remission? How about the word justification? Those words don't mean a whole lot to the average, not American, Christian that carries a Bible. They're big words, and they're core truths of Bible Christianity, and yet they're unknown by people who carry Bibles to church where that Bible is preached. When you read your Bible, if you don't know what a word means, why wouldn't you look it up in a dictionary so you could understand? I'm amazed. I used to ask the teenagers, you know, I'd say, turn here, you know, and every once in a while I'd ask that question, do you know what you just read? Oh, that's a big word. I'd say, here's the dictionary. You know how to use it? Then look up the word. If you ever read your Bible and you don't know what a word is, my goodness, in this day and age where people, what's this word mean? All you got to do is talk to your phone. You know what I mean? You don't even have to get a dictionary off of the shelf. You can just, all you got to do is talk to your phone. Look it up. Far too many people read the Bible and they sing the hymns, and they have absolutely no clue about what they're doing, and it means nothing to them. People think this. People think, well, God loves me. Well, God doesn't judge me. God makes me feel good, and God's going to make me rich. They get that from TV garbage, okay? In most churches, people are offered what they think or perceive about God when what they need is what God's Word says about God. What people really want is peace with God in their heart. People really do want to know the joy of having their sins forgiven. People really do want to know that they're on their way to heaven because the Bible says so and that they have eternal life. But the typical minister of our day is scared to give people what they need, so he gives them what they think they want because it's more lucrative. In other words, it makes the offerings okay. Or it increases their numbers. That's scary. We're also living in a day where people have almost entertained themselves to death. I've got a book in my office. It's called We're Entertaining Ourselves to Death. It's a book. It's just about that thick. It's very difficult to find people nowadays who will listen long enough to have something explained to them. That's because advertisements are only 30 seconds to a minute long. So you give somebody a gospel track, and it's like, here, I'd like to show you how to go to heaven. How long is this going to take? Well, if I talk real fast, it might take, you know. I can't talk. They're used to, well, it's going to take longer than 30 seconds. I don't have time for this. You also realize people now watch the videos and the movies they watch. The scenes change every 3 seconds. Look, I can't compete with that this morning. I am not going to change every 3 seconds. I'm not going to, I'll try to hold your attention, but we're going to try to explain a passage of Scripture this morning, and it will require your attention. It will require your attention. I want you to be able to enjoy your Bible and read it and see what God's done for you. And if you learn more about what God's done for you, if you're saved, then I told you it'll help you tell it to others. And I really believe you'd love God more and you'd serve Him more if you had a greater understanding of what He's done for you. And that's what this morning's sermon will show you. Look at verse 21 here, and it says here, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." What's he talking about? It's a colon there. It says, verse 22, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ." And what a statement, "unto all and upon all them that believe." So God wants to give His righteousness to everybody that will put their faith in Him, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it takes God's righteousness to get to heaven. That's verse 22. Look at verse 23. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified," notice the colon there, it's not the end of the sentence, "being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." I'm so glad this morning, as we read that, you didn't see any world religion like Catholic or Methodist or Presbyterian, Buddhist, Islam, Muslim, Mormon, or Jehovah's Witness. You didn't see any good works in there, whether it's your good works or mine. What you saw in verse 24 is what God has provided for everybody who has sinned in verse 23. Because in verse 23, everybody has sinned, verse 24 is what God's done for everybody. Verse 25, "whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation." There's one of those big words. What's the word propitiation mean? It means to appease the wrath. The word propitiation means if you borrow somebody's car and it has gap insurance and it's got the full insurance and you come back and you say, I got in a wreck and I totaled your car. They may have insurance to cover it, but there's still the inconvenience, right, of the car wreck. They're glad you're safe. Well, maybe they are. Depends on how much they love their car. But they're angry at you because you got in a wreck in their vehicle. So you can say, well, the insurance is going to pay for it all, and I get to rent a car while the car is replaced or whatever it is. But how do you fix the anger issue? When Jesus died for you, He just didn't pay for your sin. He appeased God's wrath. God's angry with the wicked every day. That's propitiation. Jesus, yes, He died for you. But God was angry. And Jesus fixed it. Now you can come to God, and if you're saved, He's not angry with you anymore. That's propitiation. He appeased God's wrath. Big word there. "Through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins." The word remission means to be released and forgiven. If it's remitted, it's released. So the release of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Verse 24, before we focus on verse 24, let's just think about verse 23 for a second. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." What's the word sin mean? It means to miss the mark. So everybody has missed the mark and come short of the glory. What's the word glory mean? It means the perfection of God. God's standard is here, and nobody can meet it because all of us have sinned. Everybody has sinned and come short of God's perfection, and nobody can attain to it. In other words, the price that it takes to get to heaven, nobody can pay. Right? All have sinned and come short. Not one religion or one person can pay it. We've all come short. People say, well, nobody's perfect. It is much more than that. If you look at Romans 1 and 3 shows us what God sees when He looks at mankind. Look at verse 10, ready? And let's think about this, How bad of a sinner does God see us before we get saved? Romans 3:10 is going to start a passage here where God's quoting Psalm 14. But look at Romans 3:10. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. You know, that statement that says, you know, when I got saved, I was seeking the Lord and I found God. You didn't find the Lord. The Lord wasn't lost. I was. The Lord found me. The Lord was seeking me. There's nobody that seeks God. The only reason you care about God is because God touched your heart and gave you grace and moved in your direction. But there's no, we're all such sinners, we don't seek after God. All right, look at this is just God's picture of us. Look at verse 13. Well, verse 12. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. If I've gotten the privilege of showing you how to go to heaven, I've used that verse, and I have none underlined that doeth, and I have good underlined. Nobody does enough good to get to heaven. Nobody. Well, if I help people and pay and get baptized and all, nobody is, you can't do enough good to get to heaven. Verse 12 is very important, especially the end of it. Look at verse 13. Their throat is an open sepulcher or a grave. With their tongues they have used deceit. Their poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. So Romans 3:10 through 18 is God's picture of all mankind. Now we're still in Romans 3. We were looking at Romans 3:23. God tells all of us, thou shalt, look, and see, here's the whole thing. How do you know God wrote the Bible? Because mankind would never write a book that condemns him to hell. You see God's picture? You know, most people, when they read Romans 3:10 through 18, they go, well, I'm not that bad. Look, think of the Ten Commandments with me just for a second, would you? Do you know why God said, thou shalt not bear false witness? Because everybody in here is capable of telling a lie. That's why we're told, thou shalt not bear false witness. Okay, let's take another commandment. Do you know how come we're told, thou shalt not kill? Because everybody in here is capable of murder. That's the case. I never murder somebody. You're capable of it. I'm capable of it. That's why we're told not to murder. We're not told not to defend ourselves. We're told not to murder. Amen? Think the Ten Commandments, we're told not to do those things because that's what we're capable of. That's the type of sinner that we are, that we all are. Jeremiah says, the heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So God's trying to tell everybody, it's not what you do that's going to send you to hell. It's what you are. It's what you are on the inside. Some actually believe that there's a trial coming after they die. They really think, because have you ever heard this? When you give somebody a gospel tract, they'll say, oh, I'm going to let God figure it out. Take your Bible and go to John. Keep your finger right there, Romans 3. Just go back a couple of books to John chapter 3 and let me show you something. There's no trial coming. They actually think when they die, and they got this from Hollywood, because there's nothing in the Bible that's like this, but in John chapter 3, they think, well, when I die, I'm going to stand before God and I'm going to tell God what I've done, and if I didn't kill anybody or rob a bank or sell drugs to kids or any horrible thing, that God will let me into heaven. And they really think there's a trial coming. But John chapter 3, are you there? John chapter 3 verse 16 says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18, I want you to underline just three words. Watch this. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Watch. But he that believeth not, and then if you'll underline these three words, is condemned already. Do you understand? Every person that dies without Christ, there is no trial. There is no, well, I'm going to stand before God and let God figure it out. That's what I tell people. And I try to tell them in a nice way. There's no trial coming. The trial's already been had. The gavel's already been sent. I sentence you to burn in the lake of fire forever and ever. It's already been sentenced. You're condemned already without Christ. When your heart stops beating for the last time, there is no trial. You are going to go straight to hell. There's no waiting time. The burning begins the moment the heart stops beating. That's what the Bible says, right? Every lost, that's what they really think. Well, I got a pretty good chance for heaven. They don't know verse 18. They don't know that they've been condemned to eternal burning in hell forever. It's already done. Unless you get saved, you will go to hell. You've already been sentenced there. Go back to Romans 3 now. Go back to Romans 3. Now, I quote the verse Hebrews 9:27. It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And that's why people think, well, see, you die, and then Hebrews 9:27 says, you're going back to Romans 3, right after death comes the judgment, not the trial, the judgment. What's a judgment? It's a sentence passed. There is, like I say it again, there is no trial after you die. You either get saved before you die, or you are condemned already. But the judgment of burn forever in hell, the judgment happens the moment your heart stops beating for the last time. Hebrews 9:27. Many people have a sad misunderstanding about the Ten Commandments. I as I give the gospel and as I witness to people, they actually think the Ten Commandments are to keep so that you can go to heaven. But in Romans 3, where we're looking at today, look at verse 28. Ready? It says, therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. The law is the Ten Commandments. So God says the Ten Commandments purpose, God didn't give the Ten, and there's not ten, there's hundreds. There's hundreds. The Ten Commandments is just an outline for them. But God didn't give you the Ten Commandments so that you could try to keep them. And if you keep, look, do you love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? You want me to answer that for you? No. What's the second commandment? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Do you love everybody as much as you love you? Do you want me to answer that for you? No. That's what all the commandments hang on, right? Loving God and loving your neighbor, right? The first two, Jesus says, we're done. And if you break one, you've broken them all. It's sad to hear people say, well, I haven't broke, I keep the commandments, all of them. You can't. Nobody can. The purpose of the law is to show you what a sinner you are, not so that you can keep them to quote unquote earn eternal life. You're there in Romans. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 20. Just go over a couple of chapters. Romans chapter 5, verse 20. We're going to get back to Romans chapter 3 here where we started in just a second. I'm just trying to remember, we're going to look at verse 24, but verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're just focusing on that just for a minute before we dive into verse 24. You're in Romans chapter 5, look at verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Why did God give the law? God gave the law to say, this is my measure of perfection and holiness, and you can never meet it. And the harder you try to keep the Ten Commandments, I'm not justifying any breaking them, but the harder you try to keep them, the more you find yourself breaking them. So you get up the next day, okay, today oh, I didn't. And God says in James 2:10, you break one, you broke on them all. You tell a lie, you're as guilty as a murderer. Well, I've never committed adultery. Have you ever told a lie? Then you've broken all of them, James 2:10. Amen? It's important that we understand that. Now, that's why, praise God, you're in Romans 5, go to Romans 10. Then we're going to go right back to Romans 3 here in just a second. Go to Romans 10. Romans chapter 10. Since the law was given to show me what a sinner I was and what I am, then Romans 10:4, praise God, you ought to mark this and think about it. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Jesus Christ kept all 10 commandments. He did what you and I could not do. So if you'll place your faith in Him, He gives you that obedience and that righteousness to the law. He's the end of the law to everybody that believes on Jesus. Glory to God. I cannot keep the 10 commandments. I'm going to break them some way. Somehow, I'm not justifying sin. I'm saying Christ is my only hope because I'm a lawbreaker. Amen? And He did what I could not do. He fulfilled them and obeyed them. And He is my righteousness, not me. Now go back to Romans 3 and let's look at... Now I hope I realize we could take more time on verse 23, but let's look at our text verse this morning, Romans 3, 24. Romans 3, 24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I think there's three words there you need to know. Probably the words that we could be most ignorant about is the first word is justified. It's a court term. The word justified, and I put it in the bulletin this morning, so hopefully you don't have to write it down. If you want to, you can, but I hope you can take the bulletin home. The word justified means declared righteous in God's sight. You can put right next to justified in your Bible, saved. It means the same thing. If you're justified or been declared righteous in God's sight, that's because you're saved. All right? It's because you put your faith in Christ. So being justified freely by His grace. Really important that you understand grace. How do you define it? I've talked with many a pastor that could not understand it. I was blown away. When we were in Tennessee, I sat down with three individual ministers, and they were saying, oh, you got to get baptized to go to heaven. I said, what's the word grace mean? I said, I'll define it for you. It means unmerited favor. Favor you can't earn. It means God's favor that He gives you that you can't buy or earn. It's unmerited. Grace. You know what the opposite of grace is? The opposite of grace is mercy. Grace is when God gives you something you don't deserve and can't get without Him. Mercy is when God doesn't give you what you do deserve. You see, God saved me by His grace, but it's by His mercy that I'm not going to burn in hell one day. There, the word grace is a beautiful word. They say there's no word in the English language like the word grace. So you got justified, then you've got grace, and I'm going to go through this with you, and then the final word there is redemption. And I'll cover all these here in just a second. The word redemption means freeing a prisoner or slave by payment of ransom. I'll go through that more with you. And we sing the songs, and that's why I get scared that it doesn't mean anything. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed. Redeemed. Do you know what you're singing, Christian? That means you've been bought. If you're redeemed, yes, you're saying I'm saved, but it's because God bought me. He owns me. Amen. And I'm not scared to say that. He owns me. Now, the word justified. We're looking at this. I love this. In Romans, you're in Romans 3, right? Look at verse 20. Ready? We didn't read it this morning. But watch this. The word justified means declared righteous in God's sight. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. In other words, nobody can be saved by living right. Everybody see that? The word justified is the same as saved. Okay, look down at verse 28. I'm just trying to keep you focused on the word justified just for a second, then we're going to look at verse 24. Look at verse 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified or saved or declared righteous in the sight of God by faith, and then notice these last words, without the deeds of the law. No amount of living right can save you. We conclude. In other words, read the Bible and this is the conclusion. This is the end sentence and verdict. You can't be saved by living a good life. That's what verse 28 says. Look at verse 24. Being justified. So this is talking to saved people, right? Now listen, Christian, watch this. Being justified. That means a new state is described to you as a child of God. You're being justified. This is for saved people. Look, it's like this. I am a human being and I am a saved being. Amen? Being justified. When you place your faith in Jesus Christ, you go from death to life. You go from darkness to light. You go out of Adam, the first sinner, and you go into Christ, the second Adam, who fulfilled the law. You go out of the hand of the devil, and you go into the hand of God. It's a being justified. That's a brand new existence. Glory to God. When you place your faith in Jesus, you aren't trying to be justified. You are justified. Now, it's not a, praise God, it's not a process. It's not a searching. It's a being. Being saved is not a doing. It's a being. Salvation is not a journey or, like I said, a process. Being justified. I'm so glad right now I am saved to the uttermost. Hebrews 7:25. I'm so saved, I can't stand it. I like that. I'm saved. I'm not working at getting saved. I'm as saved as I'll ever be, and I'm as saved as I ever was when I placed my faith in Christ. This morning, you're saved. Your being, or your state of being, is in a state of justification if you placed your faith in Christ. Then, have you noticed? Every religion in the world has you trying, or gaining, or working, or doing, or hoping. But if you will receive the salvation that God offers to everybody, you don't have to try anymore. You will be justified. You'll be justified. Now, watch this. Being justified, let's focus on the word justified again. It means declared righteous by the judge of all. Justified means the judge of all souls declared the believer righteous. The day June 7, 1986, when I got on my knees and I accepted Jesus as my Savior, God declared through heaven, Greg Nash is righteous. God declared it. And the day you accepted Jesus as your Savior, God declared you righteous. God declared you without sin. In heaven now, in heaven. That's what happens when you get saved. Being justified. If you've placed your faith in Christ, God didn't say that you were good enough to get to heaven. God didn't say you've cleaned up enough to have eternal life now. He didn't say you're straight enough to never turn aside. God made a declaration as to the judge of all creation, I, God Almighty, declare you righteous. That's justification. That's justification. Look at Romans 3:24 again. Now, watch this. Woo-hoo. Being justified freely. That's just in case you don't know what the word justification or grace means. Just in case you miss it, he says, freely, by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ. Freely means no sacraments, no confession, no baptism, no money paid, no tithes, no offering. God was so satisfied at the offering that Jesus made for the sins of mankind on the cross that salvation is now free. It's a gift. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. You can't pay for it. It's free. God, Jesus said on the cross, it is what? Finished. There's nothing more you can do for it. There's nothing you can add to it. All you can do is take it. And if you won't take it as a gift, you can't have it. Because what an insult would it be when God wants to give you eternal life and you say, I'll work for it. No, I've already paid for it. I bought it with my blood. No. I'll go to church for it and I'll try to live right enough. What a slap in the face that would be to God. That's how come trying to get saved by being good enough is such a horrible sin. It's such a horrible insult to God. God only has one salvation. It's free, eternal salvation. Now, look at Romans chapter 5. We'll come right back here. I just want to show you the word free. The word free, it means free. And a gift is free or it wouldn't be a gift. But just in case when you're reading your Bible, God doesn't want you to miss the fact that it's free, he puts free gift. Look at Romans chapter 5. Look at verse number 15. But not as the offense, so also, in other words, it's talking about when Adam sinned, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, Adam, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Look at verse 16. And not as it was by one that sinned. That was Adam. So is the, there's that word, gift. For the judgment was by one, Adam, to condemnation. But here it is, the free gift is of many. Right? Y'all see the free gift, gift, free gift, 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 free gift. Then you go to Romans chapter 3 and it says, freely, being justified freely. It's important that we understand that. I'm so glad I didn't have to work for it or I'd have messed it up. Amen. I goof up everything I touch. I'm so glad the salvation that God offers is all of His. It's none of mine. I can't even add to it. All I can do is accept it. I've shown you Romans chapter 5. Go back to Romans 3:24. Ready? Watch this. Let's look at just a few words here, and I'm trying to help you think through Romans 3:24. Being justified freely by His grace. Next word, grace. I told you grace means God's unmerited favor. The only condition to salvation is that you can't earn it. God says, I got one condition. You have to come by my grace. You can't earn it. And if you try to earn it, you don't get it. If you get my salvation, it's because you let me do it. Amen? You won't have anything to do. It's by His grace. By His grace. God will declare you righteous in His sight on one condition. Grace. It's nothing you can do because Jesus has already done it on the cross for you. God gives grace to the humble. I find that in James 4:6 and Isaiah 66:1-2. God says, to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Listen, if you'll humble yourself and realize there's nothing you can do to save yourself, salvation is not you plus Jesus or Jesus plus anything. As long as you're, listen, it's by grace. As long as you're trying to help God save you, He can't save you. As long as you're trying to earn justification, you'll never be justified. Aren't you glad this morning it's God's grace that saves you? And because it's God's grace, it has no limit. It doesn't say you're saved by grace. It says being justified freely by His grace. You see, my grace has limitations. That's how come Peter said, shall I forgive somebody if they trespass against me 7 times? He was twice the law plus one. He thought he was being pretty good. And Jesus said, about 70 times 7. Really? I'm supposed to count to 490? So if somebody comes by and clocks me with a bat, bing, bing, that's one. 400. Jesus was saying, no, my grace, your grace is 7 times. My grace is unmeasurable. Being justified freely by His grace. God's grace has no limits. Our grace has limits. I read in Romans 5:20, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. If you come to God on His terms, He that cometh to me, Jesus said, I'll in no wise cast out. There may be things you've done that you hope nobody ever finds out about, but God already knows about them. And you can be justified or declared righteous in God's sight because God's grace is, my grace isn't sufficient for the worst thing that you've ever done, but God's grace is. Aren't you glad? I'm so glad this morning that there's no such thing as a person who cannot be justified by God's grace. Look at our text verse again. Look at verse 24. Ready? Let's look at another word. Romans 3:24. Being justified freely by His grace. Through what? So what's the condition? The redemption. What's the word redemption mean? It means freeing a prisoner or slave by payment of ransom. Redemption means, and I've tried to show you this before, but redemption means basically it's like a package 3-in-1. It means it's been paid. It means it's been received. And it means what was captive has been received and set free. If you're redeemed, God bought you, the price was accepted, and Jesus accepted you, and then He doesn't hold you captive. We're not slaves of the Lord, we're servants of the Lord, right? And a servant has a choice. So it's your choice to serve God. God doesn't make you serve Him. God set you free. And if you return to the Lord to serve Him, it's by your choice. Not because He said, well, I saved your soul from hell. God says, my redemption is free. And if you return to serve God, it's because you choose to. It's because you choose to. The word redemption. While God is a God of all grace, and God would delight to justify every one of us freely, God is also not a liar. God has already declared that the wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Sin has to be paid for. Somebody has to pay the eternal price that God put on sin. No one could pay it but God Himself. So He put on flesh like you and I put on clothing, and He was born of a virgin, and He came to this earth and paid what we couldn't pay. And that's why His redemption is what works. We can't redeem ourselves. We cannot purchase ourselves. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption. What did Jesus pay then? God required blood. It had to be a bloody sacrifice. Jesus couldn't have been strangled on the cross. Jesus couldn't have been poisoned. He had to suffer a bloody death to satisfy God's demand. It had to be a bloody, torturous death. That's why Jesus died the way He did. Because that was the redemption that God required and that only God could give us and provide for us. God never required church membership. God required blood. God never required baptism. God required blood. God never required any work, because all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. God says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption. Amen this morning. God's salvation, God's justification, God's righteousness, it comes through one channel. The redemption that's in Christ Jesus. It only comes one way. That's why this is so important. This morning, I'm not telling you something you have to know. I'm telling you something you must believe. If you think, listen, you think your good works and your religion are the agency through which God's going to freely justify you, you've misread the Scriptures and you'll miss heaven. You'll miss heaven. God's grace and pardon and forgiveness comes through only one channel, His redemption. That's why it's so popular today to have a coexist bumper sticker. It's so popular to stand in a pulpit and say, oh, all roads lead to heaven. All roads don't lead to heaven. Look, the way to hell is broad. The way to heaven is narrow, right? That means you can go to hell any way you want. You can go to hell being good, or you can go to hell being bad. But there's only one way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's only one way to heaven. It's through His redemption and what He did. But you can go to hell any way you want. You can go to hell in jail, you can go to hell in church. It's broad. But there's only one way to heaven. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Look, I do believe that a sincere belief that calls on you to be a better person might be worth a try if all you had was this life and then a grave. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But since there's a heaven that God made and rules in, and God also set the terms by which man can enter heaven, you need to ignore every religious voice that asks you to go against what God said in the Bible. If you just take what you know about the religions of the world, think about it. Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, Catholics, Islam, Hindus, Greek Orthodox. Think with me. There's only one religion in the world that offers justification freely by grace. Think with me. And yet, people cling to and are loyal to religions that have not saved them and can't save them and are in opposition to the salvation of the Bible. They'll gladly listen to and keep working on it, but wouldn't welcome a Bible-believing Christian to show them from the Bible how God would freely justify them by God's grace. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The Bible's written for saved people, and God's not trying to get you saved when you read Romans 3:24. God's explaining to you what He's done for you. Amen? God's saying, look at what I did for you. You don't understand, and watch this, none of us are going to understand at all. God did so much for you when He saved you, but when you read the book of Romans, He says, let me help you understand salvation. One, so you can serve God and love God. Number two, so you can tell others. Amen? So that you can tell others. How are you justified? How are you justified or saved freely? Let's look at verses 22 in Romans 3, 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is, then underline these four words, by faith of Jesus Christ. The five words. It's faith. Unto all, and here it is again, upon all them that believe. See, the word believe doesn't mean to know about. The word believe in your Bible means to solely depend upon and rely upon. That's what the word believe means. It doesn't mean, yeah, I know about Jesus. You don't get saved and go to heaven by knowing about Jesus. You get saved when you believe on Him, when you trust Him only and nothing else to take you to heaven because He died for you. Come down here to verse 25. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, or the one that appeased His anger. There it is again. Through faith in His blood. I loved asking that question. Can I show you from the Bible how to get your sins forgiven forever so you can go to heaven? And when you turn to that verse right there, through faith in His blood. You've got to believe the Bible's God's word. And then you've got to put your faith in the blood that He shed for you on the cross. That blood is what washes you clean before God. If you'll put your faith in His blood. What a verse. What a verse. You say, how do you know your sins are forgiven? Because I've placed my faith in Jesus. Or you could say it this way. I've placed my faith in His blood. That's what it says, right? And it is that blood that washes our sins away. Verse 26, last verse we'll read. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier or the saver of him which believeth in Jesus. There it is again. How do you get this justification by faith? Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. What a verse. Could you go home? Could you read it as God explains to you what He's done for you when He saved you? They say you grow in the Christian life when you do two things. When you never get over the fact that God had loved someone like you. And if you're used to the fact that God would love someone like you, Christianity has become old hat to you. You've lost your awe that God had loved me after all I did to God. And He justified me freely. I'm clean today before God. I'm saved to the uttermost. Glory to God. And you know what? A love like that and realizing that, that'll keep you close to God when the rest of the world's pitching God out the door and doesn't have any use for Him. Amen. Romans 3:24, being justified freely. Believe in the Bible means to solely depend upon. Do you know what people are looking for in their fairy tales and all of their religions? Eternal life. Aren't you glad you have it? I found it. I don't wonder if I'm right. I have God's word on it. I found it. I'm not looking for it. It's so sad to watch people look for it. Well, I hope this is right and I'm trying this. No. It's not there. I promise. It's in Christ Jesus. And if you'll find Jesus and let Him, right? Let Him save you by His grace, you'll have eternal life. What a wonderful verse. I hope it helps you rejoice as a child of God. Let's pray. Father, thank You again for Your word this morning. I pray that please, Lord, I know we just looked at one small verse.